This is Steve Tanner for Intentional Living. I'm talking with Bill Simmons, president of American Leprosy Missions. I'm talking to Bill because his story is an intentional story, and the ministry he leads is a very intentional ministry that reaches people all over the world with the medical care they need and the God they need as well. I talked with Bill at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention earlier this year. Welcome to the program, Bill Simmons. So please tell us a little bit about your intentional journey to now lead American Leprosy Missions.
Well, I'll start with, I grew up as a missionary kid in the Congo. My parents were missionaries, and I graduated from high school there. And when I came back to the States, I started a career in retail, and I worked in retail for over 20 years. And I was the CEO of a couple of different retail chains, and after 2008, which most people remember is a pretty difficult time of the world and business, my wife and I really took a step back and said, I've had this 20-year career. What did we want to do next? And what did we think God wanted us to do? And so thinking about living intentionally, that was really what we were going through. And what if we got another 20 years? If God gave us that 20 years, how do we want to look back and describe that 20 years if God gave it to us? And we really felt like being called into some sort of an international ministry was what God had for us. And the first call I made was to a group who was actually doing the search for the new CEO of American Leprosy Missions. And my wife and I spent the next several months doing what many people do when they hear about leprosy, and that is learning about it and understanding the problem that it still is today. But now, 6 years later, after becoming the president and CEO, I tell people that journey, working for an organization where I understand what we do every day has an impact somewhere else around the world, gives me the opportunity now to actually be working in my dream job. Mm. I never knew to dream of it earlier, sure. But now I know every morning I look forward to waking up and knowing that I get to go be a part of something that's impacting people around the world. And it is a very intentional act, and it's an honor and privilege to be a part of it. So that's how I got to American Leprosy Missions, and I love waking up every day knowing that that's what I get to do.
It's the old thing of, you know, do something that you're passionate about, do something you love, and you'll never work a day in your life, right?
Yeah, and then now I discover that's what happens every day. That's right, exactly.
So, I mean, obviously, you had a career in retail, and obviously people can have a passion for that, and they're serving there, and they can be intentional, to use our word, for that. But flipping the switch, you said something about, I wanted to look back in 20 years. What did I want to see my life look like when I look back on it after 20 years? We talk a lot about live the way you want to become. Mm-hmm. Do something today that is going to help you get to the place you want to become. And I'm hearing you say that. You're talking a pretty wide envelope of 20 years. We often talk about in 1 year, in 5 years, but in 20 years to look back. What are some of the things that you want to see back at your life, to look back on your life in 20 years?
Well, one of the things that happened in that journey early on was God used an event to kind of break my heart in a certain way. And my wife and I have three sons who are now all out of college or still in college. But God called us to adoption. And the process of God really breaking my heart toward adoption meant that he had to teach me that the objective in my life should not be to finish with my hands full, but to finish with my hands empty, having the idea of just crossing the finish line, having spent everything. And that changed my mind frame around what is my life supposed to be about. And after we adopted our daughter in 2008, we started that journey in 2005. And that was a year before I came to American Leprosy Missions. And so that 4 or 5 year journey was really kind of plowing the field in my heart to help frame how I thought about that next 20 years, which was constantly being about giving up and releasing and trying to evaluate, am I holding on, or are we a family who is continually giving of ourselves, our resources, and our talents? And so, and that's that is part of what I do. I still have to recognize that I'm out of the country or somewhere in the world 90 days of the year. So that's a sacrifice that we knew that we were making. That's part of what we signed up for. We signed up to come to American Leprosy Missions knowing that part of giving, was going to be giving of our time and giving time away from each other, but for other people, that other people were going to reap the benefit of the work that we did. And so that's what we're part of. And so that's that 20-year view.
Sure.
It's a constant pattern being established of having divested yourself of things.
Sure. Leprosy. I mean, we know it's in the Bible. We know that Jesus healed lepers. We don't hear a lot about leprosy. We haven't heard a lot about leprosy. Talk about how you were drawn towards American Leprosy Missions, how just the whole notion, the whole existence of leprosy, really God used it to set off the red flags in your head.
Well, the first place I always go is to Luke chapter 7, when John the Baptist is in prison, and he's trying to figure out, am I in prison for a good reason? And he tells his disciples, go and ask Jesus if he's the one. And so John's disciples approach Jesus and say, John wants to know if you're the one, or should we wait for another? And Jesus' reply is, well, you go back and tell John the things that you have seen and heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, those with leprosy are cured, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. So the idea is Jesus is responding to John to say, you know that I am the Messiah by these works that I am about. And for us at American Leprosy Missions, our work is actually about all of those things, because people affected by leprosy have many of these issues, and of course they have leprosy. And so I say it was a very short prayer to determine, is the work that we're about at the heart of what Jesus would be doing if he was alive and walking today? It's what he did when he set that template before us. And so we get to be a part of that. We get to be a part of ensuring that people around the world who are affected by leprosy are healed. And so that was my journey. My journey was discovering that leprosy was still an issue around the world, and I could be a part of it. But not only would I be a part of it, it's something I became easily convinced was at the heart of Jesus' work. I tell people that leprosy, when most people don't know that it's a problem, that I think about it as three billboards. If you imagine three billboards going down the road, and the first billboard reads, the number of breast cancer cases in the U.S. each year. And then the second billboard reads, the number of leprosy cases around the world each year. And then the next one reads, same number. Mm. You know, in our minds, we have this awareness because of the great job that is done in bringing awareness to breast cancer in the U.S. and the month with pink, and everyone knows what that means now. But if you can imagine what it would be like to be someone around the world who had leprosy, but the rest of the world felt like leprosy had been eradicated. And so not only have people affected by leprosy always been without the camp, as the King James would say, pushed out and on the margins, and Jesus was the first to bring them back in and bring them close, but they're still outside the camp in some ways, because not only do they have the disease or have had the disease, but even the church now has somehow neglected that work among people that Jesus intentionally sought out and rescued. And so that's our call. Our call and my call was to take up that charge and say, I can't settle for not becoming engaged in this, but instead I need to get involved, and then also to work toward inviting and changing that inside the church in the U.S. and believers in the U.S. Can we move back toward a work that was very close to the heart of Christ? So that's what we get to do.